Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, joined by Super Bowl champion and former punter Jeff Fiegels. I am John Schmelk.
Thank you
so much for joining us on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to get in touch with us that way, you can as well. All right, Jeff, here's a scenario. The Giants lose last Thursday. We talked about that game on Friday, the defeat to the Eagles, but they got some help over the weekend. Two of the four teams they needed to lose did, in fact, lose, and it was the two teams we thought might lose.
Yep.
The Tampa Bay Bucs falling to the New Orleans Saints and the Detroit Lions losing to the Dallas Cowboys. So here's the good news. Giants are in the playoffs, and Jeff, considering it's the first time since 2011, you got to feel good about it.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, yeah, just on from our end, what we've been covering the last few years, it's been horrible to think that another year goes by and the Giants, now they punched their ticket. And you know what? It goes all the way back to the offseason. You know what happened? Coach Coughlin was fired. They bring in a new coach, new court. Everything just has just gone well for this team that built it through the Giants defense. But you know what, John? From a player's perspective, it's always been the same. It always will be. It doesn't matter how you get there as long as you can arrive. And now it's important for this team to go down to Washington and kind of, you know, figure out what they need to do to get better.
One thing that always bothers me is when people say that team doesn't deserve to make it into the playoffs.
Oh, please.
It's a load of garbage, and here's why. I don't care what your record is.
No.
I don't care how you get there. The bottom line is that you are still one of the six best teams in your conference out of the 16 teams in your conference. It doesn't matter what your record is. As long as you're one of those top six teams out of 16,
and what you know what does matter a little bit if you're the one and the two.
Because
then you get a little bit, hey, way to go. You guys are that good, you're gonna get a bye.
Absolutely.
But after that, it's all bets are off and let's go. And it's, you know what, six teams. You know, the other 10 are sitting there going, oh, I wish we were better than that, but, you know, we're not. So we're going to sit back and watch, just like the Giants have been sitting back and watching for the last 4 years. It's been horrible.
Right, and the Giants are locked into that fifth seed in the playoff picture, very important to note. But there's still a lot to be decided this weekend. The Redskins, who are, of course, taking on the Giants at 4:25 on Sunday down in the nation's capital, they have a lot to play for. If they win, they're in, and that would be a second straight playoff appearance for the Redskins. I haven't looked back, but I feel like it's been a very long time since the Redskins made the playoffs two straight years. You probably got to go back 20 years.
Two straight
since
years,
that happened.
Yeah.
It's been probably more than that. It's probably the early 90s with Mark Rippon, the last time they made it two consecutive seasons. So maybe they did it with Joe Gibbs when he came back for 2 years, but I don't think so. Bottom line, the Redskins do have to win that game in order to get into the playoffs and earn that sixth seed.
You know what's crazy, John? As you go back in this NFC East, once again, there hasn't been a repeat division winner. Think about it. I think it's going back maybe 7-8 years.
It's Andy Reid's Eagles. So you're going to go, I think you go back all the way to like 04, 05 or something like that.
Yeah,
I think
10
that's
years.
How far back it goes, a little more than that even, because otherwise it's, you know, the Cowboys have now won two out of the last three, but the year before that, I think it was Chip Kelly's Eagles that did it in his first year with Philadelphia, right?
Washington,
if I'm not mistaken,
last year.
And Washington last year, then the Giants, you have to go back
to 11.
Right. So it's very, very interesting. Now, a lot at stake, not just for the Redskins, but in the rest of the conference, Jeff, because this NFC, because besides the Giants at 5 and the Cowboys at 1, mm-hmm. everything else is still up for grabs. And,
yeah.
I will make it really simple for Giant fans out there. I will give you four different scenarios, and here's how it's going to work for the Giants on Sunday. If the Packers win, the Giants will play the Packers in Lambeau Field.
If the Giants lose or win.
Correct. If the Seahawks lose, regardless of anybody else,
they're playing the 49ers.
The Giants will play in Seattle, week one of the playoffs.
If Seattle loses.
Correct. If the Lions and Falcons both win, this is assuming Seattle wins now, okay? If the Lions and Falcons both win, Giants play the Lions in Ford Field.
Okay.
If the Lions beat the Packers and the Falcons lose, the Giants play the Falcons in the Georgia Dome.
Because the Falcons would go from a 2 to a 4.
Correct.
Right.
So there you have it. The Giants play the 4 seed.
Now,
obviously,
how is the Redskins getting in there if they win? Somebody else, there's got to have to be a – their win, they're in, no matter what?
Yes, because of the tie.
That's stupid
right now, the Redskins are 9-5-1. So if I believe
they're 8-5-1.
They're 8-5. No, they're 9-5-1.
9-5, 14-15, yeah.
Yeah, they're 9-5-1.
Yep.
Let me look at the standings to make sure I'm giving out good information. Hold on, I don't want to be giving bad information out here. But being in 9-5-1, if they win this game, Jeff,
they'll have 10 wins.
They will be 10-5-1. The best that the Packers The Redskins are 8-6-1. So if they win, they will finish 9-6-1, right? The Packers and the Lions play each other. Both teams are 9-6. So one of those teams is going to finish 9-7, and the Packers and the Redskins will automatically win their tiebreaker against those teams if they win at 9-6-1 against the 9-7 team. So that's how the Redskins win, and they're in.
And they would be a 6th seed.
Correct. They would be the final seed, and then they would play whatever the worst division winner would be.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because the Giants, they would play the 3 seed, which would be the 3rd best division winner. Pardon me. The
which
Giants
could be
will play the
which,
worst
which
division
could,
winner.
Which would most likely be Seattle in that situation.
If the Falcons win.
Right.
The Falcons right now control their own destiny.
Sure.
If they
From
win,
2-4.
They get the bye. If they lose and Seattle wins, then they swap.
Gotcha.
That's how that works.
Okay. Wow. Well, bottom line, guess who's coming to really play on Sunday?
The Washington Redskins.
They are going to be ready to play.
Right,
and
folks,
they're going to go for the sweep.
No question. Thank
series.
You for joining us on Twitter. If you want to keep listening to the show as we break down Giants, Redskins, and kind of the Giants mindset heading in to this playoff situation, which Jeff Fegels has some familiarity with given his experience back in 2007, go to Giants.com or the Giants mobile app right now to listen to the remainder of the program. All right, Jeff.
You know, it's a little bit different before we start. So that 07 season,
please.
We were coming off a game on I don't remember if it was a Saturday or Sunday.
I can tell you.
Okay, I think it might have been a Saturday. But the Giants are coming off a Thursday game. So this even makes it even more weird as far as scheduling and timing and routine. Because just
the
coming
Giants
in,
played on December 23rd against the Bills, winning 38-21.
That was a great game,
and
by
then
the
they
way.
Played on the 29th against the Patriots. So if the 23rd, I got to go back to my 2007 calendar now, and I can tell you what it is. Hold
and
on.
What I'm getting at is that, you know, this has been a really kind of a weird week because you got a Thursday night game, and then you had the holiday weekend, Christmas being on Sunday. Now the Giants are turning around. Today is Tuesday. I don't know if it's you guys or it's me, but I get the days mixed up when the holidays come through here.
Luckily,
you know?
They were here yesterday, so the holidays didn't really mess up the Giants' schedule.
Well, they were on their regular Monday. Oh, they were here yesterday?
They were here yesterday doing some work, yeah.
But the whole organization was not here. It was
Correct.
Just the players and coaches. But it is a little bit different because, you know, you kind of ran into the 07 season. It was, whether it was a Saturday or Sunday, it was a normal week.
You know, I had forgotten, Jeff. Did you know that Giant-Patriot game was on a Saturday?
That's what I just said. I thought it was on a Saturday night.
See, I thought you said the week before was on a Saturday. But
no,
right. I'm sorry. The Bills-Giants game was on Sunday the 23rd, and then you're right. You played the Patriots on Saturday night. I had forgotten that game was a Saturday game. I really did.
But then I think our first playoff game was on a Sunday.
That's correct.
Wasn't it against
Tampa.
In Tampa
that was on
a Sunday,
I believe, yes.
So and really, I was talking to Robbie Gould before the show today earlier, and we were talking a little bit about football players are the most routine guys you know. I mean, everything is all about routine and scheduling. And so I was asking him, like, how does this play into, you know, your scheduling and routine? And he said it's difficult at times because you're playing a Thursday night game, the first one the Giants played all season, and then having the holiday weekend and then coming in, you just got to get back on your horse and kind of go and treat today as a Tuesday, as a normal Tuesday. And really go through it. But a lot of time off, which can help when we talk about injuries and talk about guys trying to get healthy. And I know that's going to be a theme of a lot of people is what do the Giants do this weekend against
right.
the Washington Redskins? And that's really not up to you and I, thank God.
Yeah, Bucs is 1 o'clock on a Sunday. Then the Giants played the following Sunday at Dallas at 4:30. And then they played the following Sunday at 6:30 against the Green Bay Packers. And then obviously the bye week.
And pretty much in the playoffs, you follow suit. If you play on a Saturday, you play on a Saturday the following week. You know what I'm saying? They don't switch them that much. Isn't it just usually AFC, NFC?
Right. And you wouldn't think this year that if the Giants end up playing the Packers or Lions, which all in all, playing one of those teams is more likely than
sure.
not.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't make those teams go from playing Sunday night to playing Saturday.
Gotcha.
That's usually a tough – you wouldn't think. That's usually a tough turnaround in the schedule. So if the Giants, in my opinion, this is just a guess. I don't know anything. If they end up playing Detroit or Green Bay, since they're playing Sunday night this week, that game would be scheduled for Sunday, the first week of the playoffs, and that on Saturday.
Because the Packers and Detroit are playing the 8:30 game.
Correct.
So they're going to want
you
to play on
quick
Sunday.
Turnaround,
yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Now, the interesting thing is that the Giants, how about this? We've never been with Ben McAdoo for a West Coast trip. When would he want to travel
sure.
if the Giants play in Seattle?
Yeah, because, you know, Tom always went out the
day before. But a lot of coaches go out 2 days before. So
yeah.
if the Giants play Seattle, let's say just theoretically, the Giants play Seattle on Saturday night. Would the Giants then travel on Thursday? Which would really send the whole week's schedule haywire. So it's just real interesting to see how this would kind of, you know,
And you want to know something? The Giants aren't going to know until 12:30 on Sunday night. Or
oh,
Monday
yeah,
morning.
Absolutely not. No.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not like your game is going to be over Sunday, and then you're going to be like, okay, guess who we're playing? Nope.
You know what? Actually, they might actually know based on.
Well, depending on what Seattle
based on what
does.
What other teams do. Like, if they know heading into that Sunday night game that the Giants are playing either the Packers or Lions, no matter what. The league will come out and probably say, all right, it'll be Giants versus Packers or Lions on Sunday.
Yeah,
but
and I meant more which team rather than, you know.
Right, but the point is that if you don't know if it's going to be, you know, Packers, Lions, or another team, depending on who wins or loses, then the whole thing can get messed up. So one other thing I want to talk to you about from that 2007 team, and you talked about the timing and the schedule and all that stuff. How about the players in the locker room itself? You know, fans say, oh, the game doesn't matter. Do players think that way? Do players relax when you're going into a game like this? How important is it for this team to win? Are the players going to be all excited about it? Is that something the players do on their own? Can the coaches get their guys motivated for this? Or is there something kind of inside that you can't, you know, quantify and you can't teach and the players have to take care of it themselves? Just give me that whole perspective on playing a game that is quote-unquote meaningless for playoff position.
it comes from each individual. It really does. But collectively, I think – and I say it all the time, I think that, you know, from the leadership committee or leadership of the team, you got to get guys on the same page. And really, it's what is our goal? What is our goal? Goal to win a championship. And by the way, we still have to play a game this Sunday. And the Washington Redskins are in our way. And, you can't play this game just to go out and play it. That's how you get hurt. You've heard it all the time. You got to play it 100%. I think that Coach McAdoo will prepare this team. I feel like he's going, this is my opinion and my opinion only. This has come from nowhere else. But if you got to rest some guys, you got to rest them because they're banged up going into the game.
All right.
And that's probably the right thing to do. But you don't want to change the continuity of things. Just go out and play the game. Get in a nice routine and a rhythm and get on a winning way going into the ride that wave into the playoffs, man. And you know what? What better way to go down there and win a game on the road to prove that you can – get on the road and win a game. This team has not been that good winning on the road, like we just mentioned earlier. One of them was at a neutral site. So this is one thing, like I said earlier, John, is work on some things that are going to help you be successful in the playoff. One of them is proving to yourself that you can go down in a division game on the road and win it. And what's at stake here? There's more at stake for the Redskins. Knock them out. Knock them out.
Be a spoiler.
Be a spoiler for them.
And,
okay?
You know, you don't like the Redskins. I mean, this is a division game. The Redskins already beat you once this year in your own building.
And the way they beat you is got a bad taste in your mouth. That's a game the Giants should have won, and they could have been maybe the number two seed this year. When you think about it, they're sitting there at 11-6.
Well, unfortunately,
11-6.
Unfortunately, the Cowboys just rolled into a dominant year at the wrong time. I mean, the Giants, you know, at 11-5, you have a pretty decent chance of winning your division. In fact, the Giants, let me look at the standings real quick. At 11-5, I got to bring that page back up as I went away from it, but I believe they would win at 11-5 the NFC North, for sure. The NFC South, they'd be neck and neck with the Falcons, who also have 10 wins right now. They would have won the NFC West. You go to the AFC, they have the same record at Pittsburgh at 10-5. They would have won the AFC South. They would not have won the AFC East or the AFC West. So at 11-5, the Giants would have won about half the divisions.
And football. They probably would have been a number two seed, one seed.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Or at the very least, you play one home playoff game
in
your stadium.
Yeah.
Makes, you know, it's people, you know, the Giants have done it, so people, I don't think people realize how hard it is, but winning three straight road games in the playoffs is really, really hard.
Listen, that's what makes the 07 and the 11 seasons so special, is that they were able to do it on the road, you know. And I will tell you this, that the Giants, number 10, you know, he is a guy that can get hot in the playoffs, and certainly I think we all feel like if that's the case here, if Eli can get hot in the playoffs and this offense can get kickstarted, we've all been asking ourselves, when are we going to see this offense just come and just show up one day? I don't know if that's going to happen. I think there has to be some improvements in the offense, because what we know that the defense can do, the defense can keep the Giants in games if the Giants offense can just do a little bit more.
We had a great interview with Eli on our pregame show 2 weeks ago, and this is my
that
final
was a
point
good interview
until we final point until we get to your calls here at 201-939-451. We got a full bank already. He said, talking to the younger guys on the team, trying to get them ready for this moment and playing these big games at the end of the year. And I thought his quote was something that really typifies what makes Eli Eli. He goes, the bigger the game, the more relaxed you have to be. And I think that's what's made Eli so good in these moments, where somehow, and you know, you say you can't flip the switch, right? But I think Eli can. Like it's like he has a thermometer in his body, and he's able to, you know, or a thermostat, excuse me, he could be like, I'm going to be as excited or as calm as I possibly want. He just kind of flips it, like, okay, I'm going to bring myself down to an 80% excitement level. Myself down to a 50% excitement level, and he could just control his emotions so well, and that's what makes him so good in these big spots.
And he has experience in those situations where a lot of the guys, think about him and Diasi, are the two Giants left on this team from the 07 and the 11 team.
Well, Cruz is there from 11 too.
And Cruz is there too, yes. So, but all in all, you look at all these other guys, they haven't experienced the nervousness, any of that stuff, where Eli, and not just the Giants, on the opposing side too, most of these guys have never been in the playoffs, and they're not used to it. Eli is a salty veteran in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? And he understands the pressure. He understands the nervousness, and he can get over that, and he can drop his body temperature down a little bit so that he's not overheating, and he can kind of, you know, be calm, cool, and collective and make plays. And that's what the Giants are going to need out of number 10 to do that this playoff run.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. Joe in Pennsylvania will lead us off. He's been holding the longest. Joe, how are you, buddy?
Hey, happy New Year's to you guys there.
You too, Joe. Happy holidays.
I have to get one thing out of my way. I'm still stuck. Was there any announcements on the calls and the so-called no calls in the Eagle games from the referee's point?
I haven't heard anything public about the NFL sending letters out at this point. No, I think the holiday weekend, that stuff usually stays pretty quiet.
Well, I just want to say, they have to take these refs, and just like the coaches and the players, if they don't play good, they're out of the league. Well, the refs, they come down.
That's what they do, Jeff. Joe, that's what they do. If these referees grade out poorly,
they don't get to go to the playoffs.
They don't get playoff assignments. And eventually, if you keep making mistakes, you lose jobs. We've seen guys moved out of referee jobs before. So
they get suspended. Their groups get – remember this year there was a crew that got – suspended for a couple weeks.
So, Joe, that people don't realize it. That does happen. Every week, these refereeing crews do get graded.
They're
held
accountable.
Judged, and they get held accountable for their mistakes.
Okay. I got to move on then, just so that's happening.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because, it was a big part of the game, and it did cost the Giants the game. I don't care what you say. So, now moving on to the Giants game here with resting players and that, I have pros and cons there too. I definitely, anybody that's banged up, the rest, and I don't want our team getting in the brawl or somebody getting ejected with their cornerback Beckham and that stuff. You know, we got to watch that. And then there's one other thing there. If, say, Eli would get banged up or something like that, that quarterback we have, our backup, hasn't had a play even. So that's something else to consider, you know. So, and I'm all for it that, hey, we didn't, you might as well say Dallas backed in too, you want to call it, because we beat them twice and they couldn't beat us to get in.
Joe,
backing in?
No, because they're 13-2 and they won their last two games.
So what? We're next up there after, you know, one of the next best records. It's the same thing you're saying there. So that's the way I feel about that.
Okay, I don't agree with that point at all, but that's fine.
Well, whatever, they couldn't beat us to get in the
Yeah, but they
playoffs,
beat everybody
they had
else.
The same thing with us. So that's the way I feel. So I'm not going to argue, and that's the way I feel. You know, hey, we earned our spot now. I'd rest our players, you know. I'd show some stuff here just to give Green Bay or whoever else we're going to play, you know, to give them something else to think about and, you know, just tune up for the next game. I don't want to get in the brawl or lose any other players. That's
Sounds
the way
good,
I
Joe.
Feel about it.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Happy New Year's. Bye.
You too. 2 points that Joe brought up I thought was good, Jeff. One, resting players. How do you think the Giants will handle it? Will this be a situation where they are just very cautious with the guys that do have some nicks and knacks?
Yeah.
Or do you think they're going to rest healthy players?
No, I think they're going to be cautious. And remember, I said it on Friday last week when we were talking about this, we're not dealing with 80-man rosters. You only have 45 guys.
Right.
So you can't rest everybody. You still have to get guys out there to play. So, I mean, yeah, I think that there'll be a handful of guys, a handful of guys that are nicked up coming into this game. You look at Jenkins and Hankins. I mean, not Hankins, but Snacks. You got anybody that's hurting, going to tread lightly with them. But I don't think that, to answer your question, John, I don't think that they are going to rest guys just to rest them.
Will Eli and Beckham play all four quarters?
I think you got to start Eli because he has a consecutive game streak.
That wasn't my question. Will Eli and Beckham play all four quarters? I'm asking you a much tougher question, Jeff Eagles.
No, they won't. They shouldn't.
Half or three quarters? What do you think?
I feel like it's just – I don't know if you can put a number on it. I think you may be able to just see how the game's going.
How important is it for you to have this offense do a little bit of something before you pull those guys this week to try to get them on track?
No question. It has to do something. I mean – We want to have that confidence that we can run the football or and we can not turn it over again like we did 2 weeks ago.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to put you in an impossible scenario.
All right, go ahead.
It's fun.
Where am I at? I'm in Washington.
Here's where you're at.
Am I on the sideline?
You are the head coach.
Do I have a kill button?
You are the head coach of the NYG.
I'm going to turn you off.
You are the head coach of the NYG. You're trailing at halftime 13-3.
Right.
Eli Manning at the half has been knocked around by Ryan Kerrigan a couple times. He's been sacked once. He's healthy. He's fine. But he's 5 for 12 for 72 yards and an interception. The offense has been brutal. Does he come out in the third quarter?
Yep.
Really? You're bringing him back out?
No. Or does he go out? Meaning, like, does he go out of the game?
Are you playing him in the third quarter?
No.
Okay, so
no.
Even though the offense hasn't done a lot, you're protecting your
no,
quarterback.
I am.
Okay.
Because I got to have him next week. And that defensive line for the Redskins are trying. They want to win this game. They're going to do everything they can. And I don't want my quarterback in there and you know, going forward. So
I would handle it the exact same way. I agree with you. Now
I also get 13 out of the game too.
Question number two, and this is the other point that Joe made, which I thought was a good one. With the Redskins playing for a playoff spot, does Josh Norman cut the extra cooklier stuff out? Or does he cut even worse and try to get Odell into some type of trouble with some kind of extracurricular stuff where, you know, you
knowing
risk
him,
a potential suspension?
Knowing him, because he's so selfish and because he's all about me, he would probably do something extracurricular at the expense of his teammates trying to make the playoffs by winning the football game. I would see him trying to – because you know what? This guy hates number 13, and he's going to try to do everything he can to get in his head – but I would eliminate that by him only playing half the game.
And now the fairness, too, is that it's not just unique to number 13 either. That's why people try to make this
about
13. I mean, he got Dez all fired up after that game on Thanksgiving against Dallas, too. I mean, Dez was killing him postgame. So I think these are the type of things he tries with all these wide receivers. You know, some guys it works on, some guys it doesn't. But
he knows who it does work on. He knows who those guys are that he can push their buttons.
He is the NFL version of Woody Woodpecker. He is an instigator. He likes to instigate.
There's a lot of Woody Woodpeckers in the NFL.
Here we go. Michael in Long Island is up next. Michael, you're on line four. How are you today?
Hi, guys. Happy holidays. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you too, Michael. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
Good, thank you. My question is, are the Giants legit Super Bowl contenders even with their offensive struggles?
Jeff, what do you think?
I got to say they're not right now, and I tell you why is because I don't have confidence in the Giants' offense being that good. Not to say that they cannot be contenders going forward, but as of right now, I need to see more out of the offense.
All
There you go. I think that Dallas is the team that you have to look at. But you know what? Really, when we've talked about this, you've got Dallas, and then you've got everybody else, in my opinion. I think everyone else can be lumped into those. Because, Atlanta can have a stinker of
a
day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Seattle, we saw Seattle score 5 points one game. I mean, come on. So there's a lot of teams that just, But I feel.
And the good news for the Giants is that they're the one team in that group that has actually beat Dallas. Nobody else has in that group.
And you know that Dallas doesn't want to see them again. I know you can talk about all you
no
want.
Way.
Oh, it's hard to beat a team a third time
and
in a row.
Is.
And it is. But,
still,
it's still the Giants.
And here's the reason why I think the Giants match up so well with Dallas. They can stop the run without committing to it.
Yeah.
They can just stop it with seven guys because of Snacks, because of Vernon, and because of Jonathan Hankins.
Mentally.
They don't have to commit eight guys to that box in order to stop Ezekiel Elliott. And that's how that whole Cowboy offense operates.
Sure.
They bring the eighth guy into the box, and then all of a sudden, these receivers have one-on-one coverage, and you saw Dez last night one-on-one with the Lions, or Cole Beasley one-on-one in the slot.
Doesn't work.
And then they do damage. But the Giants don't have to do that, which is why they're so effective. Michael, you got anything else for us?
What do you think? Answer your own question there. What do you think, man?
I think there are Super Bowl contenders because Eli gets going in the playoffs.
Historically,
the whole
he has.
Offense that's going into the playoffs. The defense plays really nice in the playoffs. It's just like the Giants are a whole different team in the playoffs, and you must be scared to face them.
I think that's fair, too. Michael,
very
great
good,
call.
Michael.
Thanks so much. Hope you had a great Christmas.
All right, thank you.
Take it easy, man, or happy Hanukkah, whatever you happen to be celebrating.
Whatever it is. But he makes good points. The Giants do play good defense in the playoffs, and Eli typically and historically has played well. And historically going forward, he's going to have to play well.
And you can make the argument that any team that's in the postseason tournament is a legit Super Bowl contender.
Of course. Of course. They're in the playoffs, so they got a shot. But, I mean, when you're looking at
even a team like Washington, Jeff, Kirk Cousins, that offense gets hot, they can beat anybody. I mean, they almost beat Dallas on Thanksgiving if they didn't miss a couple field goals and go for it on fourth down.
And you look at these games, they're close. They're close games, and it's just a play or two here. And really, the Giants have got to be offensively have to think about turnovers and not turning over to football. That has been their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Just and it really, and you can't do that and put your defense in that type of position constantly. You look at the way they play when they don't turn the ball over or they limit it maybe just to one. Their success rate is very high. Now, remember this, too, and we know this, John. When you go on the road, you cannot turn the ball over on the road. You just can't do it. You're not going to win games if you're turning the ball over on the road.
-2 against the Eagles, for example.
You're going to lose.
201-939-4513. Mike in North Bergen, New Jersey. He's up next. Mike, what's up?
Close by.
Happy holidays, gentlemen. How's everybody doing today?
We're great, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, listen, I actually called last week. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
I was talking about Will Tye and whatnot, about we got to feed him the ball more. Well, upon further review, gentlemen, I've come to realize that a good amount of Eli's interceptions have come from targeting Will Tye. Now, I believe that this is the perfect opportunity to bring out Larry Donnell out of the doghouse. Because he seems to have a pretty good history against the Redskins. So maybe it's a good opportunity for him to come out, and I just want to get your opinion on that, guys.
Well, Larry Donnell did have that 3-touchdown game against the Redskins, I'm thinking
two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Early in the season, too.
Your thoughts?
He had 5 touchdowns in, the first, two games.
Yeah, your thoughts, Jeff. On the tight end position in general and bringing Larry Donnell out of the cotton balls.
I think that you would have seen Larry Donnell come out off the bench if he was deserving of it. And I keep going back to how he plays and how he does things in practice, and I just don't think they have a lot of confidence in him. So
there you go.
I would like to see Ty get a little bit more yards after the catch. I think it's
And that had been a strength of him, the last couple of years, but he hasn't done it much this season.
And Adams is your guy that's going to get you a little more yards after the catch. We saw one a couple weeks ago.
How about getting one of those guys down the seam too, Jeff?
I would like to see anybody down the seam would be good. I think you running down the seam, John, would maybe get you across the middle.
Dude,
would you go with the old school giant or would you go with the new one?
I would need body armor because if I go down the seam, I don't know if I'm getting up again. I think that'll be the last seam I ever go down. So
you'd
no
be
thanks.
Like John Ryan running a fake punt down the field.
Exactly.
Did you see
by
that
by the
play?
Way, and Mike, standby, Mike. We will get back to you, but before I forget, I want to ask you about this, Jeff. Did you see the hit Chris Jones put on that punt returner last night?
Yeah, that was good.
And I had to remember to ask you about it. How about the wood that he laid on that punt returner?
You got to like that, man. I'm telling you. Punters are pretty good athletes, you know?
What was the biggest hit you ever put on a returner? Because I know you remember
listen,
it.
No, I don't. I don't. I didn't really,
really?
Ever put a – I never put a hit like that on. That was good. That was really good.
Okay, how about –
Mine are usually pushing guys out of the sideline or
swooping
them.
What was your best tackle as a punt returner? Did you ever like bring somebody down one-on-one in the field to play?
No. I mean, I not in the not in the middle of the field, just on the sideline. They're hard, man, because they're really good. They're just – I was just had to do one of these, and it was over, you know. That's why I got good at the sideline. I could always just kind of get them on the sideline and push them out of bounds or go low at them and stuff. But open field, forget about it. It's really difficult. But, you know, you don't do that for a living. You kick the football. That's why I learned to kick it out of bounds so much, so I wouldn't have to get involved in those types of plays.
Mike, what else you got for us?
I just wanted to throw in my two pennies, if you don't mind, about what the last caller asked about, if we were Super Bowl contenders and whatnot. You know, the fan inside of me says, yeah, we are.
Sure it does.
But realistically, you know, there's certain keys that we're missing that, you know, that makes me feel a little discouraged that we're not Super Bowl contenders. And I think those keys are we don't have a consistent running game.
Yep.
We have too many turnovers.
Yep.
And the last one is we're not really like the coaching, you know, we don't really have the experience in the coaching. We got so much Spags, but, you know, and I'm not trying to knock McAdoo, you know. I think he's done a pretty good job with all things considered on his first year. But, I mean, he's lacking that post, you know, that postseason experience. And I don't know, I just don't feel too confident. But we do have that championship-style defense that I do like. And we got number 10 back there, so that part makes you feel confident. But I think if we could get that running game going, man, and just cut down on those turnovers, then, yeah, perhaps we could be Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, and you know what? It's one of those situations where you want them to prove you wrong. That's what you want to do. You want them to prove you wrong, and that's fine.
Hey, look, and I think everything Mike pointed out was, you know, I'm not too worried about the coaching staff experience, but I think, you know, some of the things he mentioned, you know,
are legitimate
concerns. Yeah. And I'm going to throw in one other legitimate concern, at least in my view. Big plays. You don't make enough of them on offense, and you allow far too many of them on defense. And that's another reason I think the Giants are so good against Dallas. Dallas is not a big play team through the air. Dez can make one occasionally, but they have Janoris Jenkins that can kind of take that away.
Yeah.
They like to methodically move the ball up and down the field.
Controlled
where the Giants'
offense.
Defense gets into trouble is allowing big plays.
Right.
Now, last week, the Eagles were the same way. They didn't make a whole lot of big plays. They still made some against the Giants last week. So I think those are two other things the Giants can clean up, allowing the big plays on defense and try to make a couple more big plays on offense, which I think they could desperately need.
They need to, because I feel like, you know, that'll give you a spark in a game, too, when all of a sudden you have made one of those big plays. And big plays, we're talking about 20, 25-yard plays, you know, down the middle, something. Big plays, and we haven't seen enough of them, definitely.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the very busy phones and say, hey, it's Charlie. He's
Charlie.
In Portland, Maine. Oh, hold on a second.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in that.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Merry Christmas, Charlie. How are you?
Hey, Merry Christmas, gentlemen. Hey, talking about being cool under pressure, here we go. So me and Eli, just the same, like we're two brothers.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, because calm is the word
you
I would use to describe
you. Have so much pressure, too, Charlie.
Charlie,
you're under immense pressure.
You told us you were going to stop by our stage at our last home game. What happened?
I didn't end up going, you know, why? Because the weather here was so bad.
Oh, that
Saturday
stinks.
It snowed like crazy, and then Sunday it was freezing rain.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, and the other thing was I looked at the inactives and I saw Will Beattie wasn't active. I said, I'm boycotting. I ain't going.
that was the icing on the cake.
That's a funny line.
I said, forget it. I'm not going. Because I wouldn't even be able to say, put him in.
That's true. Yeah, that's a fair point. All right, Charlie, I know you want to talk about playoff matchups. Who do you want to see in the first round? What do you got?
All right. The team I don't want to see is Seattle.
Okay.
Because we have to go all the way to the West Coast. Plus, they have Bennett and what's his name?
Avril. That's bad. Bennett
and
Avril could be a big problem.
Bad news for our tackles. Hart and Flowers, man.
That's fair.
It's going to be over, Hart and Flowers.
Charlie, you know what?
So
and I
hope
think
we don't go there.
Yeah,
and
Charlie,
the other thing,
you know what?
Graham, who's going to be killing us up the seam, the tight ends that we can never cover. So that would be the worst matchup.
Yeah, Charlie, I think those are really good points. I'm going to play devil's advocate, though. I agree with you. I think offensive tackles versus those ends could be a big problem.
Yeah.
No argument there whatsoever. And Richard Sherman against Beckham, I think, is another good thing, too, that goes in Seattle's favor. You can't take him out of the game, but maybe you can limit him a little bit. Here's the problem with Seattle, though. No Earl Thomas, as you mentioned earlier, their defense hasn't been the same. Number two, offensively, their offensive line
is horrible.
Makes our offensive line look like the Cowboys'
sure.
offensive line.
And their running back is hurt.
It is a mess. I mean, yeah, it's a bad. So Olivier Vernon and Snacks, I mean, I think Thomas Rawls is something like 25 carries for 35 yards in his last two games. So they have a lot of flaws themselves,
too.
Charlie. Exactly. He got hurt this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would be a turnover game. Whoever got the least turnovers would probably win
it.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
But I think the best team to play now, I don't know if this is possible. Can the Detroit and Green Bay end up in the playoffs?
Yes.
Like if Detroit beat Green Bay this week in – I mean, yeah, and can Green Bay end up with a sixth seed?
If the Redskins lose to us, Charlie, both those NFC North teams are in, period.
Good. All right, this is my scenario. Dallas is going to get beat. They're not going to the Super Bowl. I think if Green Bay gets in the sixth seed, they're gonna beat whoever they play, like Atlanta or Seattle, and then they're going to go to Dallas, and they're going to beat them. And we're going to win, and we're going to beat Atlanta. And then it's going to be a championship game right here in New York.
It's the only way that can be. That's the only way it can be.
I know.
Yeah.
That's my scenario. Right. It's the only way it can be. And we're going to have a home game, and we got a championship with Green Bay in-house, and we're going to beat them, and we're going to the Super Bowl.
You know, Charlie, out of all the unlikely scenarios, that is the most likely of the unlikely scenarios. The only flaw in your little plan is that the Lions have to beat Green Bay this week, which, in my opinion, I don't think is going to happen.
Me either.
Well, they're playing in Detroit, right?
Yes. I don't care.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball now. Detroit's going to be so upset the way they got beat on national TV. They're coming out.
Yeah, Charlie, they could be as upset as they want. If they're missing two out of their top three starting quarterbacks against Aaron Rodgers, that's not going to go well.
Yeah, but Green Bay's defense is not very good.
No,
but let me say one other thing too.
Score 45 is not going to matter.
Resting players.
Yes.
Okay. I think we should definitely rest players who are injured, but we also should play players that we might need. And so I think Will Beatty should definitely be on the field. And they should play the backup quarterback just in case the guy hasn't even taken a snap.
Okay.
And who else is sitting on the bench that we should throw in there? I think we should play
Ishtak Williams.
We should Ishtak. Sit him. And I think Landon Collins. He's played every freaking snap this year. Give him a break.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, and because we don't really need this game, and you know, I don't want to see. The main thing is stay healthy, because you know, and I hope McAdoo understands that, and this isn't the same situation with Coughlin. You know, we're going against the Patriots, a team that was going for a record, and maybe a team that we would face in the Super Bowl.
Right.
We're not going to face the Redskins in the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's not happening. So I would rest these people, and that would give us like almost like another bye week, rest people up, see people that you haven't played, see how they can do, and definitely, for God's sake, rest Flowers, please.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, guys.
Appreciate it. Remember, just worry if you start benching offensive linemen, do you want to put Eli out there behind backup offensive linemen? And that's always the trick.
Well, Charlie certainly wants to see Eric Flowers on the bench and see Will Beatty starting this game.
He just wants to see Will Beatty in the game. He'll find any excuse to get him in there.
He may get in this game. He may get in this game.
Charlie's definitely the captain of the fan club at this point.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, well, he went to UConn, so he's up that way. You know, whatever. All right, that's cool. Charlie, that's why we love you, man. You can call in anytime you want and voice your opinion. We'll listen to it. We may not agree with it all the time, but.
Will Beatty was also on that 2011 team. We forgot about him.
Yes, he was. He was on the 07 team, too, right?
No, he was drafted in 08. That was his rookie year.
He was drafted in 08? Okay.
So you did play with him for a year.
One, yeah, I did.
A couple years.
Yeah, a couple years.
Yes.
Yeah, because I retired in 09, and he was, yeah, 8 and 9.
Yeah.
2 years.
201-939-4513. Nugs is in Kansas City. How are you, Nugs?
Hey, Nugs.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Doing great, Nugs. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I just wanted to say I don't think we should rest anybody.
Why is that?
I think because – We really don't want to let Washington back their way into the playoffs because they seem to have our number recently. And resting guys, I'm not sure how the tiebreakers and all that stuff works out for them, but if they get a win and then Detroit loses to Green Bay as expected, I think that puts Washington in the playoffs.
Washington will be in the playoffs if they win no matter what happens in the other games.
Yeah, so I don't.
Well, barring a tie between Green Bay and Detroit.
Yeah, I was just saying with a tie.
Sorry. If Detroit and Green Bay tie, they're both in. But I think the chance of that happening is probably kind of small.
Unless they get together and say, let's tie.
And by the way, Nugs, one other thing on your original point, though, too. The odds the Giants actually play the Redskins in the playoffs is slim to none. That means both those teams would have to win all their games, they'd have to play in the NFC Championship game. So I don't think you have to worry about seeing the Redskins in the playoffs if they happen to get it as a sixth seed.
Hey, you want to know something? I saw a guy win us the Super Bowl with the football stuck in his helmet. So
That's a good point.
I say we treat this a playoff game and get rid of our enemies right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want teams in the playoffs that know us very, very, very well, just in case we do have to see them, you know. And I don't see any reason to stamp them a golden ticket into the playoffs to begin with.
Perfect. Good stuff, Nugs. Anything else for us?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I also want to say this, just touching on whether or not we're legitimate Super Bowl contenders. We're in the dance, so we're legitimate contenders.
I agree with you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and John, mentioned that earlier. So
we do have a puncher's chance, but I do think that I don't want to knock Ben McAdoo, but just like you guys said earlier, I would like to see, you know, our offense adapt to this cover two shell that seems to be the blueprint on how to stop us and how to just slow our whole offense down. I mean, like kill it with the seam route. Or something, but what I would like to see the most coming up this weekend is to just see us work on our running game. I mean, if we're not going to go out there to let everybody, necessarily try to win the game, I would like to see us to go out there with a concerted effort to work on something. I do feel like this team has won despite the coaching sometimes, because I just don't see a lot of flavor. I just don't see a lot of diversity in our offense. It seems like McAdoo, I know he got the job because of how well of an offensive coach he was, how well he worked with Eli. But it seems like that whole machination has kind of regressed this season. And I don't know. I just think maybe, I just think if we're not going to go out there and play to win, then we need to go out there and play to improve something.
Right.
But by all means, I want to see us try to keep Washington out the playoffs.
Thank you, Nugs.
All right.
Thank you,
appreciate
Nugs.
It, man. I'm not going to say they're winning despite the head coach. I don't think that's fair. Because if they're losing games, the head coach is going to get killed. You got to give the head coach credit when they win.
Yeah, and they've won 10 games as a rookie coach.
Pretty good.
Pretty good, you know. Four more than they did last year, and they're doing it with defense, which they didn't do last year. I think really the bottom line, what Nugs makes a good point is, I think that, and I said it earlier, I think this team, you really just want to go out and improve and prove to yourself that you can run the football, you can convert third downs, you can not turn the ball over on the road. All those are winning ingredients to football games and on the road. So that's really what you're looking at. And we don't know who's going to rest what, and we'll see on Sunday. You know, and I can tell you right now, you're not going to hear it from Coach McAdoo because he's, as you know, you got to know him well enough this season. He's not going to give you any nuggets, if you will, about going into a game. It just doesn't do it.
Marlon is in Atlanta. He's up next on line four. Marlon, how are you?
Hi, Marlon.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Marlon.
I just want to talk about – I haven't heard this much, but I'm excited for us to be potentially playing in a dome or control environment throughout the playoffs.
Good point.
I think that's going to be a big boost for us as far as Eli and the offense. I think a lot of games we had, it was raining hard, playing in Philadelphia. I know it was kind of warm. But I think in a controlled environment, I think our offense will improve a little bit. And I think our defense will be flying around. And another point I want to make is playing in these domes. A lot of these teams we're playing, the Atlantas, the Cowboys, even the Lions, they don't have dominant defenses. So I think that might bode well for us, depending on what happens Week 17.
Yeah,
I just want to know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, really, no one in the NFC has a dominant defense, except for Seattle. And like we mentioned before, their defense isn't what it used to be with Earl Thomas being out. So I would gather then you're rooting against the Packers pretty hard then in the game against
Lions.
The Lions.
I'm going to get a light blue T-shirt in the Lion hat.
I think you got a good point, because I feel like Eli would be more comfortable indoors.
And he's good indoors.
And no wind. I mean, I think it's just it really plays well to his game, throwing the football.
Yes. And I think historically, I don't know the stats, but I feel like every game Eli plays in controlled environments and domes, he puts on the show.
Dome I know he doesn't play well in.
And what's that?
Who's the team we struggle against every time we go on the road?
The Saints? But he actually does okay.
No,
but he threw
the Vikings.
Though.
Oh, the Vikings. Yeah, he makes a good point. Minnesota, Marlon. He doesn't play well in Minnesota. That's
about
true.
The only one.
That's true.
Yeah, but they're not in the playoffs.
I'm just saying.
In front of us.
Yeah. I agree with you, though.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, playing potentially the Falcons, Lions, Cowboys.
Good environments.
Playing in Houston could definitely kind of help this offense out a little bit. I'm kind of excited about that. And go Lions. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks, Marlon. Good call. Appreciate it.
All right.
201-939-4513. Alan in D.C. He's up next. Alan, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well,
good,
Alan.
How are
you? How are you?
Happy holidays, man. It's a great feeling to be in the playoffs and in the conversation this year. We've been missing for the last few years. So
yeah.
I'm going to the Redskins game, and
nice.
I don't care if we don't play, everybody, but I'm just excited to see live football and meaningful football around this time of the year.
Well, so are the Giants, by the way, and all the other fans. Right?
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming. We've been on this program for the last couple of years talking that this, the 17th week of the season, and there's really nothing left.
Yeah, basically, at this time, the last two or three years, people calling up talking about firing the coach, about making changes elsewhere, draft picks. So I'm very happy we actually talk about playing games at this point rather than talking about other stuff.
Yeah. It's hard to believe we're talking about who we're going to rest in the 17th week and to go into the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
It's great. I mean, unlike most fans, I think everybody's picking who they want to who they rather play, I guess I would like to play Seattle. I think Green Bay's playing really, really well right now, and I would hate to see them in Lambeau.
Yeah, it's tough.
I would hate to see them right now.
And the Giants didn't play that well this year in Lambeau earlier in the year either. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, very excited to see football, meaningful football this time of the year. I have a question. So do you guys think I know there's a lot of other teams not doing so well, and, there's coaches getting fired. I think Rex Ryan got fired. Do you think
he did.
Coughlin's coming back to coaching anytime?
You know what? We don't know. My guess is that Tom Coughlin, and again, this is just a guess on my part, I think he will be working for an NFL franchise either as a head coach or as a team president next year.
Okay. That's it. Being go Giants, and I'll be rocking my Victor Cruz jersey in FedEx Field. And,
awesome, Alan.
Nothing would make me feel better than coming home with a Redskins loss and seeing all those guys go home crying.
So, thank you, Alan. Have fun.
All right. Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, Dave, we're going to play our little Jeff Fiegel's game here. You can rack up a call or two more if you want. We still got some time left in the show. You ready, Feegs?
I'm ready. Let me go.
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegel's?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
You love this
Eagles with the Eagles. Thousands of
Jeff
players.
Remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your
and
host.
You do. That was just so.
John Schmelk.
All right, here we go, Feegs. You ready to go?
Let's go. I'll put on my thinking cap.
Did you play with Jeff Fiegel's? Or rather, I should say, did Jeff Fiegel's play with Roy Green?
Oh, come on. Come on. You gotta be better than that. Roy Green? Yes. I'll tell you even where and when and why. Roy Green, Philadelphia Eagles, wide receiver. The year was 1992?
91 and 92.
Okay.
Well done.
Because my man Roy Green. Now, Roy Green was a man.
Well, he played in the league a long time.
He was with the Redskins for a while.
He was.
And let me tell you something. He was awesome. What
a
great guy.
He was a good guy?
A great, great guy. And he lived out in Phoenix. I got to see him a lot in the offseason when I was there.
Nice. That was an easy one.
That's why I said, come on.
You got a pen? I don't have a marker.
Oh, yeah. I got one that just dropped on the ground here. I got one in my bag here. Let me give you a nice fresh one.
All right. There we go.
There you
Thank
go.
You. All right. So you improved the 14 and 10. But oh, I'm not done.
That hurt.
We got another one. Jeff Fiegel's. Did you play with Gary Jones?
He always comes
with Gary
he always comes
Jones.
With, listen to the names he comes up with. Green, Smith, Jones. No.
You did not play with Gary Jones. You are on
Dave,
fire.
Dave, I am on roll. I'm on a roll.
You've
I'm
got
on a roll.
Five in a row here, man. All right, I'm picking it up notch. I'm going one more.
All right, go
did
ahead.
Did you play with Ben Smith?
Of course I did. Yeah, Ben Smith.
Where'd you play with Ben Smith?
Patriots. Next.
Wrong.
Ben Smith. Tight end?
Ben Smith.
No. Ben Smith, defensive back?
Actually, do you want to? Yeah, defensive back.
Eagles?
Correct. Eagles and Cardinals.
That's right.
You played
yes,
with him in
yes.
both
okay,
places.
Yes, I did.
So I'm going to give you the
Ben
win
Smith.
On that.
Ben Smith. Yep, I do remember
wow.
Ben. Yes.
Dude,
yeah.
You're getting good at
it's
this.
It's starting to come back on. It's you're training the mind.
It's training the mind. Mental memory, right?
Yes. Yeah. You know, once you study more, you.
Wow, you're on fire, man.
All right, that's good.
Six in a row.
Ben Smith. Yeah. Ben Smith was a special teams guy for me in the Eagles and obviously with the Cardinals too. Ben Smith. Yep, I remember those guys. Okay, cool. Thank you, John.
I'm really getting annoyed. You're doing way too well. All right, I got two more calls. I got 4 minutes. Let's do it. Ken in Mississippi. He's up next. Ken, how are you?
Ken, what's up, man?
Hey, hi, guys. Man, it's just great to be talking to you on the show. I love it. I've never called before.
Well, thanks for calling in, Ken. We appreciate it.
The reason I'll get right to it, I know you don't have much time.
That's okay.
I've seen the Giants at last year, and sometimes this year they'll come out on offense, look like gangbusters, run down and score, and then after that they struggle to do anything. And I'm pro-Giants, and I'm always looking at the good side of it, knowing how it could happen. But then on defense, I've always thought that happened because the defense wasn't on top of it, and then they got on top of us, and it made it a lot harder. Well, now, though, we see the defense starting slow, and these teams that are fast start on offense, I don't know that we can wait till halftime to get our mind around around an offense, and because if they score early, it's tough for us to make it up.
Yeah, Ken, I don't want to go nuts over that first Eagles drive in the game on Thursday night. It's a short week. You know, there's mitigating circumstances. Weird things happen on Thursday night football. So I don't want to go nuts about that first Eagles drive because I think that was an aberration more than anything else, to be honest with you. Besides that game, Jeff, have you gotten the sense that the Giants' defense has been poor early in games?
Well, I think that they've given up a couple big plays in the first half in some of these games.
That is true.
You know, I mean, and there have been busted plays, over the top, touchdown here and there. But what they do is they come back from that. they come back and they play stout defense after that. So you got to give them – you got to. This is the National Football League. Other teams get paid too. They're going to make plays. They're going to make drives. And I just think that, like John said, Thursday night game, short week, you know, they just weren't ready to play right at that instance. But, you know, after that, they got some – Dominic Rogers-Cromartie came back, got an interception right after the pick six that – Eli threw. So they come up with the plays. I think that more if we looked at how the Giants start offensively, I think that's a little bit of a different story now. I mean, they did have a nice drive against Detroit, the first drive of the game. They went down there and scored, but yeah, we haven't seen that in all season.
What else you got, Ken?
That's the main thing. I know it's got to come down to a sense of urgency within the players themselves, and I know that can be hard to coach, but I just want to say, look, I love the Giants, and I really love the defense.
Thank you.
That we have this year. I just love to see them not put me on the edge of my seat in the first half of the game.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Now listen, I gotta tell you something. I thought we were like maybe listening to Jerry Jones there. I thought maybe Jerry Jones was calling into the show. Didn't he sound like Jerry Jones a little bit?
He had a little bit of a Southern accent. Yeah, sure.
Oh,
I'll buy that.
A little bit. Come on, Smelky. He was like right out of Dallas. Come on, or Arkansas.
Mississippi.
There you go.
See, to me, that you're right. That seemed like more of a Texas accent than a Mississippi accent.
That's what I thought. But thank you for calling in, though, Ken. We appreciate it. We know you're a Giants fan.
He probably watched Eli coming up.
Absolutely. I mean. But it was kind of funny because I was just waiting for him to ask like a Dallas Cowboys question or something. But anyways, who we got?
Let's go to Madigan.
He's
out in New Mexico. Madigan, what's up?
New Mexico.
Hi, John. How's it going?
Doing great, Madigan. How are you?
I'm good. Long-time listener. I believe I'm a second-time caller.
Oh, well, welcome back to the family.
I think it's great.
Thank you.
Good for you. What's up?
I'll try to make this quick, but John, you watched the All 22 film of the Giants games, right?
Most of them, yeah. Sometimes I have really busy weeks; I don't get to all of it. But I must admit, I did take the weekend off. I did not watch the Philly game, but I do watch a lot of it. Yes.
Okay. Well, I just want to talk about Eli Manning for a second.
Sure.
And I know you guys have heard a lot about Eli Manning, but I was watching the play of the first interception, and it's kind of alarming because I don't really know if Eli Manning is going through all of his reads. You know, because I was looking at the play, and it looked like a concept that was made to beat that too deep safety zone. Because so they had, you know, Victor Cruz on the outside, Sterling Shepard in the slot, and then Will Tye in line.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ran Sterling Shepard on the drag to suck in the linebackers, right?
Yeah.
And then you had Will Tye going kind of deep on the post and then Victor Cruz on a go route. And so I think that whichever one of those two players, Will Tye or Victor Cruz, whichever one the safety took, I think Eli Manning was supposed to go to the opposite, right? I think, is that fair to say?
Could be.
I'm trying to quickly bring up the play right now, to be honest with you, so I can get a better feel for exactly what happened on
the
play.
Well, whatever it was, the decision was wrong because he was double covered.
Yeah, to me, that was – I'm not sure, again, what the exact design is, and we have the play right here. Fiegs will take a look at it too. But, yeah, that's one of those plays where it's a bad decision. They're showing two safeties high on defense, and then Malcolm Jenkins drops into the low position on Tye. I mean, no one else was really open on the play, to be honest with you. I think Jenkins, more so than anything else, really just made a really nice play. Where did you think Eli should have went with the ball on that?
Victor Cruz on the go.
Mm. Let me look at Cruz top of the screen.
He was open for a little bit, but I remember.
He had a step.
Yeah, but remember this, too. I will tell you.
Yeah, you know what he did? He could have thrown that ball to Cruz. I think that's fair.
Now, and the other thing, too, is fair. John was at the stadium. Early in the game, they were working against the wind the first quarter here. And there was some good wind down there. I don't know if he could have made that throw or not. I'm just trying to make an excuse, I guess. But this is not an excuse.
Well, the problem, though, too, and here's the issue with getting it to Cruz there, too, Madigan. If you take a look at the play again, you know, that Cruz is in his first read, so we need some time. And what happens? Because Brandon Graham beats Bobby Hart around right
Rusher.
Tackle, he has to step up in the pocket, and he can't set his feet to go through all his progression. So my guess is that he saw them lining up in two safeties deep, so he figured Malcolm Jenkins would be over the top on Cruz. And once he went through that first read, he gets pressured. He's a step up in the pocket, and that's probably when he didn't have the chance to get back to Cruz on the outside.
I actually think he did look at Cruz for a quick second and then realized he couldn't throw the ball.
Because he had pressure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the play would have been to throw it at the feet and go on. You know, but that's just in hindsight.
And honestly, I think you do have to tip your cap to Malcolm Jenkins to a certain extent, because he's playing about 20 yards off the line of scrimmage, 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. He comes all the way down, and from behind Will Tye cuts in front. So, I mean, it's a pretty darn good play by him. But you're right. If you look at that play in slow motion, the man that he should have gotten the ball to was Cruz going deep. No argument from me.
All right.
That's really unfortunate that Brandon Graham had to come around like that. I mean, that could have been a touchdown.
It could have been. And you know what? But that's the trick. That's why when Eli talks about, in order to beat those two safety deep coverages, and that's what that shell was there, Jenkins ended up coming down from the two deep coverage, you need time
to
get guys down the field. Yeah. And without that pressure, he probably has time to go back to Victor Cruz and make that throw, but he couldn't because the pressure came off the edge.
Yep, he couldn't step into the throw. So he decided to dump it down to the tight end, which is basically a 7-on-7 check down, which you see every day in practice. It always goes to the tight end, except in practice, the tight end's usually not double covered like that, so... And Jenkins made a good play. He really did.
I guess I just wish he would have, I don't know, maybe just thrown it away or done something.
Of course you do.
Into double coverage.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Absolutely. Madigan, no argument. Thanks for the call, my friend.
And I wish the Giants would have scored one more time in the red zone, too. Thank you.
Go Giants.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You know, one more time in the red zone would have been good, too. You know, I mean,
one out of five.
Yeah.
Is that what they one out of five?
2 for 5.
2 for 5? Sorry.
But still. That's not good enough. That's another thing that we talk about. What do the Giants want to do in Washington this week? They want to improve on their red zone efficiency. That's both offensively and defensively. Defense been pretty good all year. And
are they saying no Jordan Reed for this game? Have you seen all the reports in there?
I don't know, but that guy's tough. But I mean,
I mean, Vernon Davis is still pretty good, by the way. It's
sure.
Not like Vernon Davis is a bad player.
But he's not Jordan Reed.
No, few are. He's awesome.
He is really special to watch him play, and really we've seen him play good the last couple of years against the Giants.
Figs, it was
remember
fun.
2 weeks ago? I mean, 2 years ago, Jordan Reed, he had like 12 receptions for 150 something yards.
He's a monster.
That's a fantasy bingo right there.
So when are you off to Florida with your son for the
All-American
Friday,
we're leaving Friday. He actually left today, and he'll be down there practicing all week, and then we're gonna head down Friday. I was gonna try to go down there today. But I just couldn't work it out. The Hurricanes are playing in Orlando tomorrow night. The Miami is playing in their bowl game there. So I was going to try to go to that. But other things happened. Got to work a little bit here and there. And I got some family in town. So we just decided that we'll go down on Friday. So the game is New Year's Day. And once again, you know, my family takes precedence on some things. And thank God that the Giants, my buddies over here, can take care of it for me. And you guys will be flying solo without me this weekend.
Yeah, and that's why I know Jeff Fiegel's on Friday. You will have Paul Dottino the next 3 days. We'll see where his excitement level is for a game that's, you know, Dottino's in an interesting spot this week.
Yeah.
You know, you're not playing to get into the game. I want to see what Dottino's enthusiasm level is at. Is he even going to worry about this game, or is he already just locked in on the playoffs?
Well, John, you know, I'm not even worried about this game. That's what he's going to say.
So I think it'll be real interesting. You'll have him and David Deal tomorrow. Then you'll have him and Howard Cross on Thursday. And then I get Remnants Dottino on Friday.
You get revved up Dottino for Friday.
And then it looks like on Sunday it'll be me, Lance, and Paul. We'll see if we add a fourth body in there.
All right.
For a pregame show, it's a long one. Starts at 2:10. Game at 4:25. Remember, folks, it did get flexed. Then we'll be on after the game with the Giants Extra Point postgame show. So for Jeff Fiegels, enjoy Florida, my friend.
Thank you.
I am John Schmelk. I will not be enjoying Florida. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.
Thank you.